Life Walkers, get ready to start journeying life mostly natural with me, your guide, Moke Angel.
Go, I'll keep on going, no matter how it rolls.
Hey y'all, I just wanted to apologize for getting this podcast out late to you this week. I was just having some technical difficulties with my dogs barking a lot, and I couldn't really find enough quiet time to be able to do the podcast and record without constant barking going on. I have some girls going on heat, and two of my boys, one in particular, has really lost his mind, so I just wanted to let you know I was getting this out to you as quick as I possibly can, and I do appreciate you coming back and checking in and following up on my podcast. Hello, my fellow life walkers. Welcome to part 5 of our trail on abandonment, how to live through it, heal from the pain, and become a stronger, independent person. Yes, we are on this trail for the very 5th time, and we are going to get down this trail today. It will be the day that I will finally let you know what my mother had said to me. And I'm pretty sure if you've been following along with me, I know some of you have been following along with me because I've made a big achievement. Oh, 25 downloads. So whoever that is out there, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you listening to me and following along and walking along with me this far up this trail. It's not been an easy one, and I know I have a lot more to learn as far as how to explain myself to you probably more efficiently. It's so wonderful to know that I am reaching out to some of you and you are following along, and I hope this is helping you. I truly do, because this is the main reason why I'm doing this particular trail, and I'm doing my best to be your guide on how I have learned all these different things and had to learn how to utilize natural resources to help me heal myself to the point that I am at today. And one of the hardest things to learn when it comes to natural healing, the fact that you have to strengthen your mindset. That is one of the hardest things to master, is strengthening your mindset without the constant aid of a pill or some sort of remedy at your disposal all the time. It's not always possible for you to have those particular things. Like, I had to learn how to start strengthening my mind, and I had to find ways to be able to do that because I couldn't take medications that were prescribed to you because I had a lot of side effect issues. And I also can't just take a whole bunch of natural supplements either, or I couldn't afford to have them all of the time. To be honest, it was at that point in time when I was getting frustrated with the medications that I was taking, and then also trying to find the right supplements that to help replace some of the medication that I was taking because I was having so many issues with them, that I also came across ads, right? There's an ad that said, oh, you are able to get over your depression by thinking your way out of it. Oh, FYI, depression can be a major symptom of abandonment trauma. But according to the ad I heard, you can get past it by thinking your way out of it. And I thought, oh, that is not possible. I was diagnosed, and this is why I'm mentioning this, because you're probably going, Moke Angel, you know, I went to the doctor and the doctor told me that I will have this depression from my abandonment issues for the rest of my life, and because of it, I'm always going to have to take prescribed medication to be able to handle getting over it. And I was told the same thing as far as having to deal with my depressive symptoms, that I was going to have to take medication, prescribed medication, for the rest of my life. And the problem was, I wasn't against the idea, it's just my body wasn't okay with the idea. Every medication that I took, I ended up having some sort of really off reaction to it, or it would cause more symptoms, or it would make my symptoms worse. So I had no other alternative but to find another alternative to help me get through it or get over it. And that is the reason why I turned that particular ad and I went, okay, you know what? Fine, I have no choice. And people at the time when I was going through my depression and everything, I mean, a lot of people, the message I would get from people was like, you know, I needed to basically suck it up and nobody cared. That was just the mindset of how people thought of you or me, not necessarily you, but how I was being treated as far as my issues with the symptoms I had with my abandonment trauma. I needed to have thicker skin. I couldn't be so sensitive, yada, yada, and so forth. So basically I kept on getting these messages back to me saying that I just need to suck it up and get over it, which means that you need to strengthen your mindset. I felt like I fell through the cracks at that point in time as well, because things like the word mindset wasn't really said that much either. Well, I didn't hear it that often. And I think it's probably because of the fact that we just didn't have as much internet access at that time. And when you had any type of mental health issues that tend to make you look like you are a full-on nutcase. And a full-on nutcase, some people were just that you were just really depressed. You're just very sad. Or you were super angry at everything. Or you just didn't have any type of empathy or compassion. So for people, my perception and how it seemed like it came across to me, it just seemed like people really didn't want to get anywhere near that sort of a label per se, because they were afraid it was going to be associated with, well, you must also be kind of a nutcase too. Or it just felt like the best thing to do was just to stay completely clear of it as well, because it would look bad on them socially, like in their circles of friends. And I mean, everybody, if you're connected with someone and you've grown up with a group of people for most of your life, I think it tends to happen to be it more accepted in those particular circles, like, oh yeah, well, that's my crazy friend. Something happened that made them a little bit off in the head. They're working it out. It's all good. That's how that friend is. And it's okay. But if you meet someone outside of that circle who can have the same sort of personality, but they don't know that person, then all of a sudden it's a different situation. And that's pretty much what happened with me, because I was isolated so much as I was growing up that I never really was able to connect with any type of group of people outside of my family. And it really made, I think, a major impact on how I ended up having to deal with my situation and my own mental health therapy when I went out and started getting the help that I was looking for on my own. And that time when I started doing that, I was about like in my late 20s to early 30s, and I was still a young mother at the time. And it was really important to me, because of the fact that I was a young mother, that I wanted to start getting over my issues. Because the last thing I wanted to do was project any of what I was still carrying along with me baggage-wise from my abandonment trauma and generational dysfunction passed on from my parents to me. I did not want to continue that chain. I didn't want to add the extra link to my kids and have them have to go through everything that I was going through at the time. I thought too, I was like 30 years old or getting to it, and I shouldn't, with kids, and the last thing I should be doing is feeling the way I was feeling. And it was very difficult for me to get through that easily, because of the fact of where I was and how mental health was thought of at the time. I know I haven't told you what my mother had said yet. I will get to it. I promise you it's happening today. But I just felt like it was really important for us to be able to hear some of the problems and the thought process that I had gone through, and be able to give you any type of connection as far as what you might be experiencing yourself that you could relate to, that I was able to figure out how I could get past it. Especially if you're feeling like, you know, this is only happening to just you and you can't figure out how to sort it out. You have a unique story that no one can relate to, and you are desperate to heal from it all. I just want you to know that I can relate, and I'm telling you my unique story so that way you can understand why. So we all good? Let's continue. It's like I was saying, when I started my mental health search for help professionally, it still had that stigmatism, which I didn't know until a little bit later, but still had that stigmatism of that padded room sort of a feeling. And it was really difficult to go through that and try to get yourself sorted out mentally. Fortunately, nowadays that stigmatism has changed, and the conversation of mental health has drastically changed. For instance, as part of casual conversation, like nowadays, it's okay to say, you know, if I'm feeling depressed today, or it's okay to say I'm feeling a little sad or anxious. People are a bit more open and accepting to the idea of it and not judging you right off the bat. And I think what really helped that situation as far as understanding to being able to express those type of feelings and emotions is when the lead singer of Linkin Park passed away, Chester Bennington. I mean, once that happened, I mean, it was just tragic. Who would imagine that someone as famous as he was and well-loved, and a lot of his lyrics were very uplifting, that he had that issue of depression? I'm even more surprised because I realized now how old he was. I mean, he was 41 years old when he passed away. And it's really goes to show you that even now, with as much information as there is out there, that people still are having, even people at his level in life, in a lifestyle, is still having a hard time finding a way to connect and get the help that they need to get out of it. So for people like me back in the day, I mean, if you had to deal with mental health with the public health system, and then on top of it you still had to deal with the catch-22 stigmatism of dealing with your mental health. Like, some people were like, oh, you have to deal with your mental health, it's a good thing for you to do, and then others would treat you like you were like super batshit crazy if you did it. It was really difficult for you to feel okay about talking to anyone about it, or to try to make any friends. That made it a bit different if you were a person who ended up like having those symptoms, but then you would start self-medicating, which I didn't or couldn't really do because I smoked at that time too, and I was younger, and because I thought it was, one, I thought it was kind of cool, and two is I thought it was kind of cool, so I was trying to be with the cool kids. And I couldn't do that for very long. I mean, I smoked ultra lights, and I got very sick from smoking those. So even though a lot of people use it as a stress reliever, I personally couldn't even use it as a stress reliever, and I had to quit smoking cigarettes. Quick note about smoking. If you are into herbal blends, I have found an herbal blend that I can leave my affiliate link for you down below. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to encourage you to self-medicate. What I'm saying is that I wasn't able to go down that route either. I couldn't do it because naturally I wasn't allowed to. Oh, I admit I got my drink on, but that didn't work for me at all either. It's not a good thing for me to add to my diet on a regular basis. So yes, which for me was a blessing in disguise. I do feel that if you're able to heal yourself with more sobriety, it actually strengthens the healing process for you, and it makes it more permanent, I feel, than if you always have to use like the extra oomph to help you get through your day or help you get through the whole healing process. Now, I totally understand if you're already in the middle of it all, and you know, these are just things that you're going to have to pick and choose what to deal with as far as your healing process is concerned. But I'm just giving you my example of the things that I've gone through, just so it will give you an idea of how you can go about getting through it, or how it may feel when you get yourself through certain things, or are going through certain things at your particular point in your journey. Look, I am not judging you for what you're using to mask the pain or numb the hurt or black out the memories. I'm also not talking about just using extracurricular medication or substances to help you manage your pain or the feelings of pain. You can also do that just by happening naturally from you being in that constant victim mode, or being constantly stressed out about it, or being constantly anxious about it, because your body will start kicking in those chemicals that it starts becoming dependent on, that those particular emotions cause. And if you didn't know that, check that out. Go look it up and see what I'm talking about. I was shocked when I found that out and realized that that was a possibility. I was suffering from that too. I mean, it's just like if you smoke a cigarette and you haven't smoked for a while, or you try to quit smoking, it gives you that same sort of jonesing feeling, or that same need of you have to smoke a cigarette to be able to get over the crave and the jitters and everything else that it comes along with trying to quit smoking cigarettes. It's the same thing when your body becomes addicted to being in a crisis mode all the time. It will kick in those particular chemicals, and when it starts feeling like it's not having enough of it, it'll make you feel like you need to be in that moment again. And it will cause it. It's almost a self-sabotaging way. And if there's times where you actually feel like, you know, I think I'm sabotaging myself right now with how I'm reacting to this particular situation, or I'm thinking about going and dealing with an event that I'm not feeling comfortable about. So, and even though it's a good thing for you, your brain, those chemicals will kick in and they will hold you back and make you feel like you cannot accomplish it. You won't be able to do it because you become so used to being in that mindset, in that frame of survivor mode. I'm not trying to freak you out or make you feel like, oh my goodness, there's something else I have to worry about. It's nothing like that at all. I am just doing my best to give you as much information that I have learned and pass it on to you, so you can be able to assess yourself better, or have those little feelings inside, like maybe that was a possibility, and go be reassured that that's a possibility, that you actually, yes, you're sober right now, you think, but you don't think about the fact that your body can be actually producing its own chemicals that it's become dependent on when you're in a high stress situation, a high anxiety emotion, or in a depressive state, that it will actually want to keep you there because it's become addicted to it because you have been doing it for so long. Just put that into consideration as far as your symptoms are concerned, and the possibility that that could be a situation that you're not thinking of, and become more conscious of it and add it to your therapy for self-healing. Or if you actually are seeing a counselor and you're talking to a therapist, and present it to them and ask them, research it. Like I said, research it yourself and find out if that's totally possible, because you could be addicted to being happy, that happy feeling all the time because of the chemical that happiness produces in your body. So don't get it twisted like it's always doom and gloom. It could actually be the same for being wanting to be happy all the time. You get addicted to that chemical it produces in your body. Now, although I don't judge, I do encourage you to do as much as you can to sober yourself up, to strengthen your mind and your body, to get over your abandonment trauma. That's the only thing that's going to really help you heal past it. And I know you can do it. I know you can do it, because if I was able to have a baby, or if any other women were able to have a baby without medication and push that baby through, then that means it is humanly possible for you to get yourself sober enough to be able to deal with your healing process and get over the pain or whatever it is you need to get over in your traumatic symptoms of abandonment, to become a more normal self, your normal self. I believe you can do it. I have faith in you. I have trust that you would do it if you are willing to do it for you. You have to be willing, though. It doesn't matter how much I believe and I have all the hope for you. It will not matter if you cannot just grasp on to that little bit of light that you see. I'm just busting out of me, just bursting as bright as it possibly can, and hold on to it and just start pulling yourself up out. and believe that you can do it. You have the strength within yourself. Just believe it. Feel it. Have your faith. Believe in whatever you need to. If you have a higher power, believe in your higher power. I have Mother Universe and my Father God. I believe that they are there for me. I know they are. But you have to believe in you. And you have to believe that you are worth it. And you can do it. You can. You have all the strength to do it. You really, truly do. So just hold on and take it a little bit at a time every day. I believe you can do it. I believe in you. And here's some real talk for you. If you are saying right now, well, that doesn't mean anything for you to say you believe in me because you're just a voice on a podcast. And I know I'm just breaking it off a little bit here as far as our trail is concerned, but I want you to really hear me out. This is true. You're listening to this and I have just posted it and it is a recording of my voice. I get this, but I am telling you, I am a real person living my real personal issues just like you are. And I have been there, and there are days I still have those days where I have to use everything I've been teaching you or sharing with you as far as coping skills are concerned and things that I have learned to help me get through those days. That's it. And I want you to know that I believe in you. I know it is possible for you as a human being to get past it, even if your situation might have been less than mine or less than somebody else's or more extreme. It doesn't matter as long as you believe that you are strong enough to get past it. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that. You just know it in you. You get up every day, that means you're strong enough. That's what that means. Every day you wake up, you're strong enough. Even when you just wake up enough to get up and wash your face off, and you might have to just go back to bed, because the next day you'll get up, you'll wash your face, you brush your teeth, and then it'll just get better each time. But look at it that way. And I have to say this because I have to do the same thing too. And I want you to understand that this is sincerely coming from a place that I know is very difficult to get past. But you can do it, because I've done it. I've done it. I'm still doing it. And I want you to understand that. And I hope someday soon that we'll have enough people in our life walking community that can join us on our trail saying, me too. I got up today and I'm doing it. I got this. I'm doing it. Everyday people from all walks of life, low income, high income, it doesn't freaking matter. They're going to be on this trail with us saying, yeah, we got this. We did it. We got up and we're doing it. We're getting over it. Because mental health doesn't care what your status is in life. All it cares about is how much damage it can inflict on you, and hopefully you won't be able to figure out how to get over it. Because the whole goal of mental health, poor mental health, is to weaken you. That's its whole goal, and that's it. It doesn't care who it goes after when it does that. So to be clear, I am that somebody who cares. That being said, you will have to strengthen your mindset. And I know it's possible for you to be strong enough to do it by using yourself in a sober manner to get over it. By using your inner strength and not letting those extra chemicals that like to take over and tell you you need them so badly to be able to manage your day. It's not true. And you keep telling them that. Nope, it's not true. Not today. I don't need you today. Yeah, I need you a little bit because I have to go to sleep and all that normal stuff, but not the extra stuff. Not today. I can do it. I got it. I got this. All right? You got this. All right, we're getting close to the end of this trail today. And if you need to take a breath for a minute, then stop, pause. I'll be right back here waiting for you and we can continue on this trail. But I want you to understand that you were warned. I do come a little bit hard and I do like to dive in a bit deep, but that's the only way that you can get through and get past all of the stuff that you need to get to the core of your issues and move forward on your next lesson of your life journey. And that next lesson can be just enjoying the successes of healing from your abandonment trauma. Yeah, That could be your next life lesson. How do you enjoy that? Think about it. Having to learn how to strengthen my mind and accept the times when I wasn't strong enough to deal with a situation and just had to just baby myself through it to make sure that I just was able to get through that phase of my life to a point where I was able to get the necessary resources that I needed to get, or the extra supplements that I needed to get, or find another supplement that just came up that was new that wasn't available to me before, because holistic supplements and medication just are starting to really come out more and what their uses are besides just having the option of just taking a prescribed medication to help you. If that is something that you're able to do, that's fantastic. But for some of us like myself who are not, then you know, it was a lot of trial and error for me to find out what worked for me and what didn't. And the hardest part for me, to be very honest, was strengthening my mindset, because I was always told for the longest period of time, even by professionals, that I had to come to terms with living with the fact that my brain was a particular way, and that's just how it was going to be. And without having medications all of the time, that's just how it was going to be. And I was thinking, well, you know what? There is a part of me that said, well, that I have to figure out something else, because for a while there, I was ticking along okay. And then it just wasn't until certain things just kind of bing together like that, and just all of a sudden it just changed for me. And I was thinking, one minute I was like almost a normal person, and then the next it just switched. It just switched on me. And so I figured if that was able to happen, then there's a way to rewire it and re-switch it back. And it can happen. It is possible to do. It can take a long time. Just with all of those negative vibes, which I didn't want to pass on to my kids, it started with me ever since I was born. And it wasn't until my mother actually said those words. And the weird thing is, before she told me those things that she said to me when I was 7 years old, that changed my whole aspect of how I was supposed to interact with people from that point on, and how to understand that everybody out there is not supposed to just use you and leave you. It was something that took me a very long time, and I want to say a bad word right now, but a crap ton of mistakes that I had to learn the hard way, because I was reacting to things that I was never educated on how to respond correctly. So it's important that you learn to get over your abandonment trauma, because if you don't, you're going to constantly start reacting or continue to react to things in a very unhealthy way, even if you don't intend to do it. It just happens. And if you're listening to this, it's because you're probably having certain things that you're doing that you're going, this is just not me, and I just don't know how to get past it. And I don't know why. I don't understand why I'm being this way. And I want to know why, and I want to know how to get past it. And I'm telling you that the why is, it could have been whatever it was, who said something to you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be your parents, but it's somebody or some situation that you felt so much, you expected so much love from, that it just all of a sudden snapped and it was gone. And like I said, that person could be there for you physically be there, but emotionally they checked out on you. And that's, I think, kind of a very hard situation to live in. I know, because I lived in it, where that person was there physically, but emotionally they just had nothing to do with you. They didn't want to, they despised you. They looked at you like you were the last thing in the world, that they wanted to be reminded of the fact that you existed because of them. It's just, so awful to have to go through that. And then it's very difficult to have to retrain your brain to get past that pain. And then not only that, but then you have to put yourself out there again and trust. That's a very big word, trust. When you do that, you're not going to have to always rely on yourself to be the net. I mean, yes, I am not saying that you should not be a strong, independent person. I'm not saying that. But part of being an independent person and being strong is you also need to be strong enough to let people in. You also need to be strong enough to trust someone. And I have to tell you, that is something that I still battle with. But for you, it may be much, much easier because your support system is different. And that makes a big deal. It really, really does. And if some of you are out there and you're going, I don't have any support, but you have people you know from way back when and what have you, you know, part of that support could be the fact that the reason why you're feeling like you don't have that support is because you are so scared out of your mind right now because of that one person that threw you off. And so now you're too afraid to go out there and trust anything that's around you. Or, depending on what's going on with you, you could be going through parts of your healing and kind of are being a bit toxic, not only to yourself, but to other people around you. And for their own safety, they're kind of holding back a little bit. They're going, we're just letting them. We're right here. And once they're able to see that we're here to help them and not to hurt them, just need to back off because now it's starting to hurt a little bit. So just think, not to take it personally. If you're in that situation, then this is where I have to say, I had to do the same thing for me to start healing from my parents and those words that my mother had said. I had to understand where she came from. I had to step back out of my own pain and not look at her and make her responsible for everything from that point on. Like that's, you know, I couldn't keep blaming her for how I was reacting because it was no longer her responsibility when I was old enough to understand how to educate myself to get past it. And so part of my education that I had learned through starting my search from professional help and then ongoing from my own research with additional reading and when the internet became more open and easily available, that made my whole realm of knowledge open up and I just started becoming a sponge. I just would learn as much as I could and try to figure out because I was having a lot of problems with doctors that I was going to see because of the type of health care I had. As I was on public health care, I wasn't privileged enough to have the one doctor that I knew ever since I was a kid. Now, if you have that doctor, bless, you are blessed. I would be grateful if I knew I had a doctor that knew me ever since I was a kid. But I didn't have any of that. So I had to go through the nightmare of having to go through public health and having to go through the cycles of doctors and having to retell your story every time. And then one doctor would be okay with you. Another doctor wouldn't be okay with you. One doctor would be okay. And as soon as I'd find a doctor, I'd be a bit more open about looking for a holistic avenue, especially when I started finding I was having more and more problems with side effects with medications that I was being prescribed, and it was compounding my problems. Like it would solve sort of one particular part of my problem, and then it would cause like others. And some of them were major, which I became chemically imbalanced. It made it worse. So that's a whole nother story. But this is what I was talking to you about earlier. I didn't want to get into all of the extra peripherals on this trail this time. The point is I had to come to an understanding and see my mother and understand her from a more educated point of view of knowing that the way she was acting towards me is because more than likely, and there was things that she had said and I was able to refer back to that it told me because I actually never really spent any time with my family on her side of the family or actually on my father's side either. And that is a whole different story, but spent enough time with him. So I don't know all of her real background, but what she told me was enough in how she was acting. And from what I've learned as I've gotten older and some of the ways that you react from being abused, she was being that way. She had those symptoms and she had those particular issues. And my heart breaks for her because of the fact that my mother, came from a different country. She couldn't even speak English when she came here. For her, I mean, she had no family. She had no connections, no cell phone, no internet. I don't even know if they had priority mail. I don't know how the military stuff worked after my dad got out either. But once she moved to the States with my father, she no longer had easy access to a home she loved. And she came from a situation that was not of her choice. I'll just put it that way. And the reason why it was not of her choice is because I came along. So now you can imagine, here I am, finally. We had been separated from our parents for a bit. And then we finally get back, and when we get back, things started drastically changing for us. And one of the things that started drastically changing, my parents had switched religions. And for my mother, that was like, sacrilege in a way. But she had this, her belief of how she was raised is that whatever my father had decided to do, she had to do too, out of respect to him. And so it was another reason of something that she really didn't choose to do. So on top of it, it was like, that was just another reason to take it out on me, because I was the oldest. I was her reason of having all those other forced choices on her that had to be made. She thought, that's what I did. I ruined her life. I ruined her life because she had to have me because I was born. Because of course she was in another religion at the time, which she loved that religion, don't get me wrong. But that particular faith was that you had to have a child. And that was just it. And I don't want this to start anything else. I don't want to get into all of that. All I can say is she blamed me for having to birth me, and she said to me she just wished I was dead. She wished I never existed, because if it wasn't for me and my existence, because it wasn't for that, her life would be so much different. It would have been so much better. And when I heard those words at me when I was 7 years old, and I had that feeling, I couldn't understand. I just knew she didn't love me, and I knew she didn't care about me at seven. And when she said that to me, it just ruined me. It ruined me. It just ruined me. And then things that happened after that, from that point on, it just made it so difficult for me to be able to just get to my adult point in life. And for a brief moment, I remember, just for a brief moment, that it felt like I could just be normal. I was able to make choices, and I had the right to do that and the freedom to do that. Finally, I did. And I had to take a big risk, and that big risk was something I had to do, which I ended up doing at 7 years old. At 7 years old, after my mother said that to me, it was just so painful, and all I could think of was just like, the only way I could make her happy was to go away. And so I did. I did at seven. I took me and my strawberry Sizzler bike that I totally wished was a BMX at the time. And I took my strawberry Sizzler bike. I packed my little trash bag of clothes, and we lived in a state that was a desert state, and it was during the, I wasn't even thinking, it was kind of hot. And by the time I practically got, my bag melted, my clothes ended up just being, I had to kind of stay off the road, so I ended up in some ravine somewhere, just strewn across this ravine. And I think I got as far as the local skating rink. I don't know how I got that far, but I got that far on my little strawberry Sizzler bike, and I sat there for a bit in the roller rink, watching everybody just scoot around the roller rink and seeing all those happy families together, and just knowing that that's never going to be me. I'm never going to be that kid. And it just messed me up. Yeah, so I sat there for a bit and I watched them roll around that rink. And then it dawned on me. I have a baby sister. I have two baby sisters. And if I'm the oldest one, and if I'm not there, who is she going to be taking it out on? I was afraid of that. And so I knew at 7, I had to get back on my little strawberry sizzler. And I had to put myself back home. And I did. And by the time I got back home, it was in the evening. When I got there, my mother, my father had the police there, funny enough. And they had the police there. And they're like, ugh. And they're just, my mother's looked like, oh my God, she came back. She just had that look on her face like, really? We were just going through the preliminaries here and you freaking came back. And yeah, I did. And basically I got into a lot of trouble for running away. And even though I explained myself to my father, who wasn't home at the time, of the reason why, it was embarrassing because they had to have the police over. But that is my story. That is what my mother said to me. And I had to go back because I was the oldest. And I just knew that when I was 7. A difficult, weird thing to think about now that I understood that at that age. But it's the same thing when I got older and I had to understand where my mom came from. You know, when she was yelling and screaming at me and telling me how awful and terrible I was. And hearing those words most of the time that we were growing up. It was difficult, but I survived it. I was able to understand where she came from, and my heart broke for her, just like it broke for the little girl that I was. It broke for me, and it broke for her, because that's awful to feel that way. And if you're feeling that way, I want you to know that you will be okay. I'm okay. It's not an easy thing to get over, but it will help if you can step outside of yourself right now, and it'll make your healing process much faster for you if you can understand that it wasn't all your fault. It wasn't your fault. And it also, more than likely, wasn't the fault of the person. Unless, of course, like I said earlier, there's that unusual circumstance. But the other person, I mean, they came from somewhere else. And they just landed it out on you. And I have to, on their part, if they have not said it for you yet, I truly am sorry. That is the worst feeling in the world. It is. But you will be able to get past it. You can build yourself a whole new foundation from there. And you're doing it right now because you're listening to me and you're hearing this long explanation of how you can live through it and you can heal from it and you can become a much stronger, much healthier, much more empathetic person for getting yourself through it. And you will become more independent. If you're not already, you will be. So that's what she said to me. And that's what I learned. And those are the things that I had to do. And I am still doing every day. And something came up this week that made this very hard. Because it makes me feel a little guilty of maybe I'm the one being the abandoning person. Like almost again, and not because it's something I meant to do. It's because I keep thinking I'm doing the right thing. So maybe this is why it's taken me so long to tell you the story, because this could be a problem that could have happened with whomever abandoned you. You thought that you don't understand the whole story, and this is why I said what I said. You need to understand the whole story, or try to at least understand the other person that it's coming from and see if maybe, just maybe, they had the reasoning behind it. It could have been for the wrong reason, and it could have been for they thought the right thing to do. they thought for your sake. So that is what I have to say to you today, my fellow life walker. It's not exactly what I planned, but it's what this trail turned out to be. And you will be fine. You can make it. It is not an be-all and end-all. You're not going to always be hurt and just never going to be able to repair yourself from it. You will be able to do it. It will be just fine. You can repair the foundation, and you can repair your mindset. It is totally possible. It is not something that you will permanently have to be living with for the rest of your life. You will remember it, yes, and you should remember it, because it's something that you can build your strength upon, and you can teach your children, if you have children, or a close friend of yours who might experience later on after you, who will need you to help guide them through it. They will need your empathy while they're going through this, going through it, and you will understand how to be able to deal with it. So there we are. That is our trail. We walked all the way through it. We did it. We did it together. And I'm so glad I was here with you today, and I'm so glad you were here with me, because it was nice just to know that I was walking with someone today on this trail. It was very nice, and it was nice to know that maybe the things that I was able to navigate around and guide you through really helped you see how to be able to walk through it from this point on and know where you can go, what your resources are. You do have options, and those options supplementally will continue on other trails, and I'll talk about those sort of stuff. But you do understand that yes, you can receive help professionally. If you need that help, or if you haven't, or if you are having that help, then do be sure to ask those questions. If you ever feel like they're not answering them for you, ask them. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to answer those questions for you. They're not your parents from back in the day, the generation where the kids were just supposed to be seen and not heard. I was part of that generation of kids. Nowadays, it's much more acceptable to ask questions. You should, especially from your parents, I feel. You may have to adjust how you answer those questions depending on how old your child is and the type of relationship or understanding they have of life at that time. Well, sometimes. No, but from your doctors, of course, you have to. It's important. You need to ask questions, because the more questions you ask and the more answers that they can give you, it'll help both of you as far as figuring out a strategy to get through your symptoms. It'll also help you see if you're feeling comfortable enough that this doctor that you're seeing, or your therapist, counselor, whomever, is helping you professionally in that aspect. As far as your health is concerned, mentally and physically, you feel comfortable enough to ask those questions, and they're not making you feel like you're being a burden. It shouldn't feel like that. Okay? So ask those questions. And then if you're not feeling comfortable, then find a doctor if you're in that position to do so. Find the doctor that's going to help you. I've had both types of doctors. I've had the doctors that kind of brushed me off, and they just treated me like I wasn't smart enough to become a doctor, so why question them?
Which is not true. Just my life goals were much different, and apparently my purposes as a healer. Just saying, don't buy into that hype either.
Because I had other doctors who treated me like, well, I became a doctor because my job and my purpose in life, not just my job, but it was my purpose. My purpose in life, just like I feel like this is my purpose, is to be your guide, is to be your advisor, is to be your life coach on this trail. My purpose and your doctor's purpose is to help heal you to the best of their ability. That's why they went through the education that they did, so that they were able to do those necessary surgeries that I can't perform to do it, or you can't perform to do it. Just like whatever your particular skill set is, or your purpose in life, that's what you're meant to do, and you're doing it, or you're working towards becoming whatever your purpose is. I'm sure if you're here with me, that's what you're doing too. You're working towards your purpose, or you're doing your purpose and you're just making it better, and that's awesome. And I'm glad I can help in either way. I think that's just amazing being a part of that. And I feel truly grateful and blessed for that. I really do. And that being said, I will have to end it here today, my life walker, my fellow life walker, my number 25.
Wow.
Thank you so much for downloading and taking the time out of your day to come on this trail with me and hopefully more. And there will be a point where I will be able to figure out. I know if you're wondering, if I have not responded to you, if you commented or what have you, I'm still figuring out how to do all of that stuff. So bear with me and please follow and like and follow Mike until I get to a point where I can figure out how to, if you have questions that you can reach me. I'm thinking of a different platform that maybe it will be easier for us to communicate if you need to in that aspect. But for now, this is what I have. So continue to follow on if you feel like this is helpful to you. And if it doesn't, I totally get it. I get it. It's no big deal. And if it's just for a moment that we walked along and maybe out of that whole moment, you got that one thing that you needed to help you move on to the next part of your journey that you needed to be on. If I was able to contribute to that as well, then I still fulfilled my purpose and you fulfilled yours. You got the information you needed. So that's amazing. Okay, today, instead of leaving my usual outro that I perform with my husband, who we wrote together, the song that you hear at the end or in the beginning. Anyhow, I will be leaving you a nice little nugget because I want to thank you for being on this trail with me for so long. And this particular nugget is awesome to help you with any type of PTSD issues that you might be having, as well as insomnia, so good for sleeping issues, relaxation, and also just to calm you down. It is awesome. It is a bilateral meditation song. It's not very long, and you can use it anytime you want, and it's really helpful if you want to go to sleep and sleep well. I've tried it. I've done it a couple of times, and just test that theory of going to sleep, and it does work very well for that. So check it out. And come back to it whenever you want to. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for everything. So now, there's only two things I ask of you. The first thing is to love yourself kindly. And the second thing is to be grateful for one thing each day. I already told you what I was grateful for today. So, all right, my fellow life walker, get yourself comfortable. You can lay back and close your eyes and listen to this music, or you can actually listen to it while you're studying. It's up to you. Either or, but once you're ready, go ahead and start.